Welcome, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting to order. My name is Warren Frace. I'm the Community Development Director. This is the Eagle Ranch EIR scoping meeting tonight. This meeting will be conducted by the city staff here, as well as our consultant, Grant Gruber, and our traffic engineer, Steve Weinberger. Planning Commission City Council do not attend the scoping meeting, so the purpose of tonight's meeting is not to be making any decisions on the project or debating the project. This is an opportunity for the public to submit to the city what they think are concerns that they want to see addressed in the EIR process. So the way we're going to run this is we'll have Mr. Gruber make a quick overview presentation just so that everybody's refreshed on exactly what the proposed project is. And then at that point, we are going to open it up for public testimony. So we'll use the lectern as we do for normal meetings. We're going to stick to our three-minute rule. If for whatever reason 3 minutes isn't enough for you, at the end of the public comment, you can come up for a second time to make your comments. What we're doing is collecting data, information that's going to go in the EIR. So written comments are actually the most preferable form. You can definitely make your comments verbally. If you don't have written comments to submit tonight, I would encourage you to follow up by submitting written comments tomorrow at the latest. The close of the comment period is tomorrow at 5 o'clock. So you can email those comments to us or drop them by City Hall tomorrow before 5. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Gruber.
Thank you, Warren. My name is Grant Gruber. I'm a project manager with First Carbon Solutions. Jason Brandman is the project director. He's not here tonight. We are an environmental consulting firm, and we are under contract to the city of Atascadero. And seated to my left is Callie Taylor. She's a senior planner. She's overseeing this project as well. So the purpose of this meeting is to present the environmental impact report process, help guide the focus of the EIR, discuss the issues you'd like to see addressed in the EIR, explain the process for submitting written comments, give you an overview of the site. Eagle Ranch consists of 3,430 acres of grazing land in unincorporated San Luis Obispo County, adjacent to the city limits of Atascadero. The ranch was subdivided into 452 lots as part of the establishment of the original, ranging in size from 20,000 square feet to in excess of 5 acres. 93 multifamily residential units, which would include senior, affordable, and workforce housing. 42.4 acre resort hotel that's envisioned to have as many as 100 rooms. A village center, which would be the gathering place for the Eagle Ranch community. And a 15.2 acre highway commercial area that would include a 200 room hotel and a sit down restaurant. Addition, a 10.7 acre public park, 1.5 acre equestrian area, 19.8 miles of roads, 16.2 miles of trails, and 2,585 and one-tenth acre of open space, which represents roughly 75% of the 3,430 acres of Eagle Ranch. Project would be developed in 10 phases over 2 decades. And finally, Eagle Ranch would be annexed into the Atascadero city limits. Provides a site plan of the contemplated uses. And just as an overview, the orange and yellow shaded areas are residential. The blue shaded area is the resort. The green shaded area is the park. Village Center is the lavender shaded area, and the highway commercial area is the pink area near the 101 interchange. This provides an overview of the circulation plan. The two key access points are numbered 1 and 2. Number 1 is a point we're calling Atascadero Avenue South. That would be located just west of the 101 Santa Barbara Road interchange. And then further north on Atascadero Avenue, near the intersection with San Diego Road and Ortega Road, is another point that we're calling Atascadero Avenue North. Then there would be some secondary access points at San Rafael Road at the very north of the project. And then San Diego Road, this is the western portion of San Diego Road on the west side of the project. And then finally, there would be some emergency vehicle access. So these would, points would be gated. They would not be accessible to cars. Those would be located on the east side of the project near Santa Rosa Road and then at Ortega Road as well. Excuse me, Santa Barbara Road Impact Report, otherwise known as an EIR. The first step in the EIR process is to issue a notice of preparation, which was issued on May 16th. It effectively announces that an EIR will be prepared. The NOP identified issue areas that will be studied in detail. And the NOP circulates for public review and comment until Friday, June 14th, so essentially 24 more hours. So this scoping meeting is intended to solicit scope input on the scope and content of the EIR. Again, it reflects the CEQA principles of public participation. Comments should be provided to the City of Atascadero in written form, and those comments will be considered during the preparation of the EIR. EIR will prepare, will evaluate in detail environmental impact areas that may result in significant effects. It will be supported by technical studies, such as a traffic study. Draft EIR will be circulated for a minimum of 45 days. And during that 45-day review period, members of the public will be able to submit comments about the content of the EIR to the lead agency. Once the review period closes, the city will respond to all significant concerns raised in comments. Those responses will be provided to comment authors at least 10 days prior to the public hearing on the final EIR. And then finally, the final EIR will be submitted to the Planning Commission for consideration and approval, and then ultimately it will go up to the City Council. And so finally, about the scoping meeting, all speakers are asked to sign in so the city can keep a record of who spoke. A sign-in sheet is provided at the dais. We encourage those who speak to also submit their comments in written format. It could be email or letter format. And finally, the purpose of this scoping meeting is to discuss the scope and content of the EIR. The project merits are not being considered tonight. And so with that, that concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Grant. So Nick, sitting up by the lectern there, raising his hand, he has a sign-in list. So we are asking that you sign in, and the reason is we...
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Twyla Martin, and I live at 10955 Colorado Road, which is on the corner of Colorado Road and San Diego Road. And I did submit an email with some pictures of flooding that took place on my property in March of 2011. And from those pictures, I have many more. Those are just a few samples. You could see that there was already flooding that came within feet of my home, and that was not even a significant rainfall during that time. I think we had 4 or 5 inches in a short amount of time, but it certainly wasn't a 100-year flood level. So I have a lot of concerns about the flooding, and I was reading your, excuse me, let me get my glasses. I was reading your paragraph under storm drainage, and it said, recognizing the downstream waterways have existing deficiencies, the city of Atascadero will require that runoff generated by the proposed project would not increase the existing flood hazard to the downstream properties during a 100-year flood. And I have a real problem with that part of it that says during a 100-year flood, because at this point in time, it's not going to take a 100-year flood to flood my property and some of the properties around my home. So I would really like to see that part of it just taken out of that paragraph. And so it just says basically that the city of Atascadero will require that runoff generated by the proposed project would not increase the existing flood hazard to downstream properties, period, during any time. It shouldn't just be during a 100-year flood, because in that case, my property could flood, you know, during the next heavy rain. And they're bottom up and still draining out into my pasture. So that tells me there has to be an aquifer or some place where that water is coming down still and draining, even after a rain and during a rain. So my concern is that even if there's swells and basins at Eagle Ranch, that water's going to drain down into the, I mean, this is my assumption. I don't even know anything about this. But I'm assuming it's going to drain down and into the, was that my 3 minutes?
Yeah, can you wrap up in the next couple, like 15 seconds?
Yeah, was part of that, okay, just signing in or something? Okay, anyway, I have a problem with just runoff because I feel there could be groundwater coming up, filling it up, adding to the flooding as well as that. I'm also worried that that groundwater that seeps down into the ground, even during regular times, during landscaping, people's landscaping, leach fields, whatever, where does that water end up? Is that still going to end up where we have a really high water table anyway, where it doesn't drain? I mean, I have water in my pasture in June still at times. I'm trying to mow where there's already water. So I'm afraid, will that affect my leach field at some time? Am I going to have bogs? I mean, I don't know how all that water comes down from underneath. That's what I would like to see. So I would like to see the word runoff, either just any water that's generated from that, or runoff water and groundwater.
Okay. So if you want to come back at the end and make additional comments,
thanks.
You can do that. We won't start the timer until you're done signing in.
Thank you. Hi. My name is Nancy Hyman, and I live at 10760 Colorado Road. And I have written a few things. Police report comes out, speeding, and crash through fences at a house that Peter Barkley and his wife own at 10855 Atascadero Avenue, which has been the place for several other accidents. The fence is very destroyed today. The car was a BMW. It's totaled. The girl went to the hospital. So that's just an aside. Because I walk, and Paul, my husband, we have a crazy dog, so one of us is walking every day on that loop from Colorado Road around to Atascadero, where we go between San Rafael and San Diego roads. So my comments were, please study the dangers to pedestrians and bicyclists from increased traffic on Atascadero Avenue due to Eagle Ranch development. What are the recommended mitigations? I am concerned about construction-related cars, trucks, and other vehicles, especially in the section of Atascadero Avenue between San Diego and San Rafael Road. And then here's another topic area. Is there going to be a moratorium on well drilling on the ranch? And one other area, I request that the increased water usage from the Eagle Ranch development be studied for sustainability of our local water resources. What limitations will there be on water usage for homeowners who have lawns, livestock, swimming pools, and vineyards? Who should I turn this into now?
Yeah, just hand it to Nick.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next. Welcome.
Hello. Don't start. I'm slow. Okay, I'm going to turn in some other written comments as well, but I just want to talk about a couple of items. As my wife mentioned today, I was walking the dog, came across first responders to a single car accident. The property owner remarked, I've also attended many workshops by the city, ranch owners, private citizens, that talked about the issues, concerns, questions, and et cetera since 2008. I've been told that this is background for the EIR and not considered specific questions to be addressed. That's problematic for me because I've been in many meetings when city staff, city officials, RRM, ranch owners have said, that's a good question, important question. We can't answer that. The EIR will address it. Well, now that we have the EIR, we're being told that unless through the 30-day scoping process, an item is reintroduced, it may or may not be studied. So I'm going to ask specifically that all public comments and input from the initial 2008 meeting through all subsequent meetings be included in the EIR for study and mitigation. Now, next item is revenue. Even if the county gave the revenue, which they're not going to, there wouldn't be enough to make this revenue neutral. I think we're going to hear a lot about sales tax and TOT tax. I asked the city to consider where's the revenue from the Dove Creek commercial and West Front. It doesn't exist because it was never built. I think this is sort of mythical. I know there'll be a community facilities district probably put up from revenue, but that will increase home prices, and it's not a very good guaranteed revenue stream. Last is water. Too complex to cover right now. I'll just say drive out to Nacimiento Lake, take a look, figure out all the things that are going on the project. That's going to be a hard sell to Tascadero citizens when we have multiple droughts. And yes, it will happen. It's not an if, it's guaranteed. Nature doesn't care about business, engineering, human planning, or anything else. Scale the project down to the original 452 lots. Keep this part of a Tascadero as intended by the founder, E.G. Lewis, rural and country. Thank you. And for any new people, I've got an email list. See me and you can sign it.
Thank you. Next speaker, please. People to be coming in tomorrow to drop off information.
So
we'll be ready for it. Just knock on the door.
Joe sent me. Okay. So can I do this later?
Why don't you do your 3 minutes now, and then you can come back and finish up when everybody else has spoken.
Well, it's kind of ties together here. I'd like to finish it with your permission later.
What, you want to come back at the very end and do 5 minutes is what you're saying?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm a little hesitant to do this because I was it was noted to me this evening as I was speaking before the meeting began that we on Eagle Creek Court, where my wife and I live, are a little tardy in our attempts to have some control or some influence over what's taking place. So I will proceed anyway with our thoughts, which I included in a letter to Mrs. Taylor and emailed the other day. So,
Could we get your name real quick, sir?
I'm sorry, David Evers.
Thank you.
And my wife, Karen. We're at 150 Eagle Creek Court. So I'll just basically read from this letter that I sent to Kelly. We're one of the families living in the Eagle Creek Court cul-de-sac, which has been referred to in the past as Kelly Gearhart Homes, down by the golf course. We feel that this is a bit of a slight to us in that we are a viable neighborhood, and we would like to have our feelings incorporated in the thoughts that develop this process. I know that we, personally, my wife and I, are going to be impacted by the lights of the proposed hotel at the south end of the project, in particular because the knoll top where the hotel has been suggested is going to be above the level of our home, and whether the lights, as were described, are going to be shining directly down from the standards or not, they're going to be shining in our backyard, which is a light pollution, and there's going to be noise pollution from the hotel, the increased traffic on Santa Barbara Road, and so forth. So we, it probably, if the other hotels in this town are of any consequence, they're probably not going to be filled as much as they are, and they're not filled to any great degree. From the north end of town, where the Marriott is proposed, to the Colony Park, to the Carlton, to this area where they're proposing a hotel. The next issue I'd like to address is the traffic flowing down the arterial because of the medians at Ortega Road, forcing traffic to go down through the Santa Barbara Road exit. Exit and on-ramp. So when they talk about traffic going from whatever the term was, 375 or 400 trips per day, may I continue just this thought?
Yeah, can you just wrap up the next 15 seconds?
I will. It's a tremendous amount of increase in traffic, and we don't see that there's a justification for us carrying the brunt of the traffic. And we would definitely like to have more thoughts expressed, and I'd like to get some of our other neighbors to come over and do the same thing as I am, and we feel that if possible, we would like to have more conversations with the developer and see if we can come to some kind of an understanding as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please. Welcome.
Thank you. Twyla Martin again. So where I was kind of left off was in the storm drainage paragraph, it mentions just runoff. And I would like to see it include groundwater also, because our water table is very high. It's not just my property. The property across the street on Colorado Road has a culvert running in front of it. That culvert has water in it for weeks and weeks and weeks after rains have stopped. And so we've got a really high water table. And so I'm thinking any more water coming in from either during storm time, I don't know how quickly it goes from a swell or a basin into drains down, or even if that's where the water's coming from. But I would certainly like it looked into and see if there's an aquifer or underground river, wherever it's coming from, if it's going to end up on our property, whether it's during a storm time or whether it's just everyday landscaping, everyday leach fields. Is that all going to end up down and adding to making our water? There's a drain pipe, really tiny. I think water comes in and fills up my property for a while, and then eventually when my property, it's like a basin. When it gets to a certain level, it starts spilling over. But the only place it can spill over is on Atascadero or San Diego Road. So if there's any change at all to the elevation on that road at the back of my property where there's a little tiny dip, It has to spill over there, go into the culvert on the other side. And the only reason I think that it's okay is because then it goes over my neighbor's driveway. It doesn't even go under her drain pipes. I mean, I don't even know how she gets across her driveway a lot of times. But if there's any changes at all, even an inch or two, I can see it filling up my property even more. So it's really close to my house already coming into my home. So if there's any changes to the roads or anything like that, it can really cause more of a flooding problem because that's its only outlet, the water's only outlet. And then, of course, I'm very concerned about traffic, any additional traffic on our roads, especially San Diego Road, where a number of people heading for the freeway just fly through there. They don't have, and I'm sorry to say this, but it's our old neighborhood people already that just, you know, I guess they get in a hurry or whatever, and they just go flying down that road. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak for the first time? Seeing none, Mr. Rinaldi, we'll give you your 5 minutes.
I'm John Rinaldi, resident south of the Tascadero for 32 years at 14300 Morningside Drive. It's a critical issue and being intensely discussed throughout the world, nationally, statewide, and locally. It's given TV time in 60 Minutes, aired on Sunday evenings, and being so critical, it's more important than controversial oil. The subject I'm talking about is water and the shortage of it as we constantly remove from the aquifers, don't replace it, and we're not replacing it. Recent ruling in Pismo Beach, June 6, 2013, Judge Charles Crandall ruled against, quote, the Los Robles del Mar project, quote, the fragility of the existing water supply on California Central Coast, that's us, is an enduring, knotty problem that has often bumped against the engines of development and economic growth. In the ruling, he stated, quote, a careful review establishes the periodic drought that is now a reality in California, and the probability of drought must play an important sector when planning for further development on the central coast of California. He added, during drought, yielded out a February 26, 2013 meeting and the review of the yellow card outline of project description, I don't see how a justification and need can be supported. We have a tremendous vacancy problem in commercial, good spaces and sites which can be utilized, infill existing sites. Commercial. Here we have a Kmart site vacant for years, Deku Lumber, which was recently vacant, huge space, balance of the Walmart site with the Rossmans have deserted, lots of vacant space in the outlet center across the proposed Walmart, space at lots in near Jack in the Box, and thank God we've got a proposed development across from the Galaxy Theater, which would be a great infill. Now, as far as conference centers, we have the Pavilion. We have the Paso Robles Event Center, which is right up the street. Small events, which can be done at our community center. And if we have to, close by Madonna. Resort, hotel, motels. We have the Madonna Inn, which is not that far away. We have for housing. For any of these events, our White Elephant and mostly vacant Carlton Hotel with ridiculous valet parking, our Golden Tee Motel, the Best Western Motel 6, Holiday Express, which has recently been built. Housing being an infilled and north end of El Camino Real should continue to infill existing vacant zone, existing land, providing water, gas, electricity, etc. Parks. I believe we certainly have adequate park and rec facilities with Atascadero Park, Zoo, and Lake, the south end of the area in El Camino with horse facilities in ballpark, existing community center, which we have with ball fields. We could use a pool center. So in reviewing the Eagle Ranch proposed development, I firmly believe that there is no justification for the proposed development. And certainly no need to extend, disrupt, consider extensive road, utility, traffic, heavy site grading, damage to an existing fragile site. And of course, extreme fire zone. Again, with emphasis on water usage, as evidenced by articles in the Trib, as seen in this morning's paper by an article by a local owner rancher concerned about the huge appetite for water by the grape industry affecting local wells. I also might add the huge expansion of the thousands of acres of grape irrigation has radically changed our climate, and with the huge amount of moisture projected into our air, our precious air. To conclude, Atascadero, with its existing environment, is a great bedroom community with existing facilities and services to serve our citizens.
My name is Nancy Spitzer, and I live on San Diego Road in Atascadero. I have a number of concerns, and I'll just try to briefly mention what they are. Of course, the roads. One of the things that I find odd is that of the main access points, they're 0.6 of a mile apart, and one of the fire roads is in between. It's just almost where the to where the new proposed entrance is off of San Diego. Atascadero, as they said, was a winding two-lane road, and it's prone to accidents. Straightening it would only make the whole matter worse because it would encourage people to go even faster. The medians would be make it more dangerous. There's a concern about emergency access for emergency vehicles. There's a lot of wildlife, deers crossing all the time. There are a lot of accidents due to that. The schools are definitely an issue, and there was no indication as to when the traffic surveys would be done. They need to be done during school time, not during the summer, not during vacations, but take into consideration the traffic caused by the schools. We're concerned about devaluation of the property, especially for those properties along Atascadero Avenue, because there's nothing that would stop the traffic, and so it would be heavily impacted by that, and also would affect the rural atmosphere. We're concerned about street lights, about the viewscape, the nightscape. Flooding is a huge problem, as Twyla was talking about. The proposed San Diego Road entrance is within a few hundred feet of the Zone A flood zone, 100-year flood zone. And as she said, flooding occurs annually. It doesn't just occur every so many years. Also about the fact that there was a landfill on that property and what effect it would have. Anyway, that's basically what our concerns. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please. If you'd like to speak again, you may.
I'd like to just shoot from the hip quickly on this one because it just came to my mind, and I appreciate Nancy bringing it up as well.
Could you give us your name again, just to remind us?
David Evers.
Thank you.
Thank you. I can visually, or I can still see the effects of the fire in 1994. I remember going through the area where I used to live on Santa Rosa Road and seeing the smoke from there. I remember seeing the planes flying over Los Altos Road off 41. I remember going down through the area where you're talking about building homes and so forth. And I wonder, is that grade or that size of a fire or that quantity of an event been evaluated yet in this process? I don't recall hearing it. I don't know that the small roads that they're talking about putting in for the emergency vehicles would be enough to sustain a battle against the fire like that, but I highly doubt it. And I just wonder what event, what steps are being taken to mitigate such an event. That would go directly past where I currently live on Eagle Creek. And I am concerned about that. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker. Is there anyone else that would like to make any statements? The purpose of tonight's meeting is just to make comments. So once we're done with the speakers, we'll be wrapping the meeting up. So this will be your last chance to make a comment. Okay. Seeing no more comments, we'll close the public comment period. Grant, did you have any final words? Okay, well, we would like to thank everyone for coming tonight. As I mentioned, you are free to submit comments. Either you can drop them off at City Hall tomorrow or email them to Callie Taylor. Her email address is available on the city website if you need that. The front doors will be closed at City Hall, but all you need to do is knock on the door. We know people will be dropping off information. And as Grant mentioned, this is basically the beginning of the EIR process. We have